morning, everyone, and welcome to our Q1 2017-18 results call. As usual, please take note of our disclaimer. I will now hand it over to Olaf to present our Q1 results.
Yeah, thank you, Christian, and good morning, everyone. And welcome to the results call for the first quarter of 2017-18. We've started to this new fiscal year with solid growth momentum in large parts of our portfolio. On group level, we achieved a solid sales development against negative technical effects and a stable EBITDA margin. Free cash flow was slightly below previous year level, and now let me walk you through the individual items. Firstly, our reported sales at constant currency grew by 1.5%, despite the negative calendar constellation and some other headwinds, which we'll talk about later. Like-for-like sales grew by 0.8%. The strong development of both the delivery business at Metro Wholesale and the online business at Real were meaningful drivers for this development. In fact, we were able to overcompensate the quite difficult sales development in Russia. Secondly, the reported EBITDA margin remained on previous year level on 6%, despite last year including 43 million euro of real estate gains, and this quarter including no real estate transactions. And of course, as declared in our annual results call, we do not separately report one-off costs for restructuring charges anymore. Thirdly, free cash flow decreased by 70 million euro in Q1 2017-18 due to lower contribution from net working capital and slightly higher investments into digital and expansion. Overall, yes, we are quite satisfied with the performance in the first quarter. To discuss these developments in more detail, I now hand over to Christian.
Thank you, Olaf, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Let me start by reminding you that this is the first quarter where we have implemented our new segment structure, which we have shared with you on the full year results call. We have now moved to a unified regional view. This means that we now show the operating segments Metro Wholesale Germany, Metro Wholesale Western Europe excluding Germany, Metro Wholesale Russia, Metro Wholesale Eastern Europe excluding Russia, Metro Wholesale Asia, and also Real and others. Now let's move on to the drivers of sales development in Q1. Overall, we have generated 0.8% of like-for-like growth against a negative calendar effect. The increase against the previous year was driven primarily by Metro Wholesale, while Real showed flat growth despite lower number of trading days. Within Metro Wholesale, all segments except Russia contributed to the 1% like-for-like growth. While we grew at 1.5% on a reported basis at constant currency, reported growth in euro terms only came in at 0.2% due to currency headwinds in Turkey and China. In addition, we continued to see very positive trends for both sales lines in delivery and online. At Metro Wholesale, delivery proved once again a main driver with more than 28% growth to circa 16% sales share. Excluding ProApro, delivery still grew at roughly 10% to 14% of sales. Equally, the online business at Real grew by about 45% to a 2% sales share. We now look at the EBITDA development. In Q1, EBITDA, excluding gains from real estate transactions, stood at 608 million euro, up 43 million versus the previous year period. The improvement is driven by a strong increase at Real and others, which overcompensated both the small decline at Metro Wholesale and roughly 8 million euro of negative FX effects. There were no gains from real estate transactions in Q1 this year, and total EBITDA of 608 million is on the same level as in Q1 last year. At constant currency, EBITDA excluding gains from real estate transactions grew by 9% in the first quarter, which is in line with our full-year guidance of roughly 10% growth. Let's now discuss the development and drivers in more detail by moving on to the segment view. Let me start with Metro Wholesale Germany. In Q1 2017-18, like-for-like sales in Germany rose by 2.2%, a solid improvement driven mostly by basket growth in HoReCa and resulting in a positive development of both the in-store and the delivery business. While Germany still has some ground to cover on its transformation journey, the growth in this quarter is clearly not accidental or driven by technical effects. The growth originated from the target customer group. EBITDA margin for Metro Germany remained roughly on the same level as in the previous year. In Metro Wholesale Western Europe, like-for-like growth of 0.7% was driven by almost all countries in the region. Overall, revenue increased by 5.7% to 2.9 billion euros, driven significantly by the acquisition and inclusion of PowerPole. The slight deterioration in EBITDA margin was primarily driven by the ongoing challenges in the region. Moving on to Metro Wholesale Russia, where like-for-like growth came in at negative 8.9% for the first quarter. While the comparison base was marginally positive, we also registered decline in frequency and basket across customer groups, while recording a largely stable EBITDA margin. So what has caused this decline, and especially, what are we going to do about it? In the past year, we saw a gradual increase of the promotional intensity in Russia, especially in food and near-food categories. This has negatively impacted our price positioning vis-à-vis retail peers and wholesalers. As a result of the decline of disposable income during the past years, our customers also shifted their purchases toward cheaper products, including products in promotion. The expansion of convenience store formats of retail chains has further exacerbated the impact on the independent retailer's business, thereby harming our addressable market. On top of that, traditional and regional independent retailers were particularly affected by the macro headwinds, and many stores had to close down. Large retail chains, which were more resilient to the macro downturn, saw an opportunity to accelerate their openings, taking locations from the less successful competitors. We are obviously not satisfied with the top-line development in the country and will therefore take both immediate and mid-term-oriented countermeasures that focus on, firstly, intensifying our commercial initiatives with a focus on the most relevant categories for our customers to increase traffic to the stores. Secondly, implementing our new price policy, currently being piloted in two regions to match expectations of our professional customers. And last but not least, enhancing Metro support to the independent trader community through specific tailor-made programs, including the acceleration of the expansion of our trader franchise program, Fasol. In addition, Olaf will shed some more light on what is happening on the strategic side later on in the call. When we now look at Metro Wholesale Eastern Europe, on the other hand, this came in with another quarter of significant like-for-like growth of 6.4%, driven mostly by the continued strong trader business in Romania, as well as growth in Turkey and the Ukraine. In local currency, sales grew by 5.8%. Due to negative currency effects, especially in Turkey, revenue increased by only 2.6% overall, understating the strong operational dynamics. The EBITDA margin was largely stable year on year. Our Asian Metro wholesale business has been slightly impacted by the shift of Chinese New Year from late January to mid-February, causing the pre-buying to fall into Q2 instead of into Q1. While like-for-like sales grew nonetheless at 0.3%, reported sales were affected by negative FX development in China, causing sales to drop by 5.7%. A small decline in EBITDA margin is mostly attributable to the shift of Chinese New Year. Moving on to Real, which showed flat like-for-like growth in Q1 17-18 against a negative calendar effect. Primarily, due to store closures, total sales fell by 0.5% to 2.0 billion euros compared to the previous year's period. In light of the tough competitive environment, the stabilization of sales provides evidence of the increasing customer attractiveness of the Real format. EBITDA reached a total of 99 million euros in Q1 17-18. The sharp increase primarily relates to the provisions for headquarter restructuring measures, which were included in Q1 16-17. This quarter, Real has, however, also continued to invest in new brand campaign, digitization, and online retail, hence not fully compensating last year's restructuring impact. Within the segment others, sales dropped by 18 million euros, given that Q1 last year still included the four Real stores in Romania that have meanwhile been divested. EBITDA, excluding gains from real estate transactions, on the other hand, increased by 22 million euros, driven by one-off gains due to the release of restructuring provisions. When we now move over to EBITDA to EPS, it shows that while EBITDA came in on previous year level, EPS grew significantly from 34 euro cents last year to 64 euro cents this year. Let me explain you why. Firstly, we registered a slightly lower depreciation figure than last year due to reduced impairments and despite added depreciation for ProAPro and new stores. Secondly, the financial expenses for Q1 17-18 were 15 million euros lower than last year. Primarily, this is driven by lower interest costs due to the refinancing of a bond in Q2 16-17 and one-time effects mainly from a tax reimbursement. Thirdly, tax rate in this quarter is in line with our full-year guidance of 40%. The significant improvement versus Q1 16-17 is caused by the fact that last year was impacted by the merger and restructuring effects. The positive impact in Q1 versus prior year for both net financial result and tax rate is expected to decrease over the course of the year. As a result, EPS in Q1 17-18 came in significantly above last year. Moving on to free cash flow, which, as Olaf has mentioned before, was some 70 million euros lower than last year. First of all, the contribution from net working capital decreased by 44 million euros. This development is mainly due to the last quarter-on-quarter impact on payables from the Macan transition in Q1 16-17. No negative effects on Delta net working capital are to be expected from Q2 17-18 onwards. Secondly, CapEx, excluding M&A and finance lease extensions in Q1, was 26 million euros higher than last year. This is primarily driven due to the number of new store openings and investments into IT infrastructure and digital projects at both Metro Wholesale and others. All in all, our simplified and operational free cash flow came in at 678 million euros in the quarter compared to 748 million euros last year. From the full cash flow perspective, the picture looks broadly similar. Operating cash flow came in at 0.6 billion euros versus 0.7 billion last year, mainly driven by net working capital development. The investing cash flow, on the other hand, improved strongly from negative 0.7 billion euros to negative 0.2 billion euros this year due to a significant reduction of investments in short-term monetary assets from 482 million last year to 2 million euros this year. This development is due to the fact that instead of investing the extra cash from the Christmas business like we did in the past, we used it to repay commercial paper. As a result, our financing cash flow decreased, on the other hand, from 0.06 billion euro to negative 0.7 billion euros. Driven by this debt repayment, net cash decreased by roughly 250 million euro this quarter. Finally, net debt stood at 2.8 billion euros at the end of December, which is roughly 150 million euro higher than 1 year ago. The increase versus end of Q1 last year is again mostly driven by the acquisition of ProAPro. That was a run through our key financials. I'll now hand it back to Olaf to discuss the strategic development of Metro in more detail.
Yeah, thank you, Christian. Well, overall, we'll continue to execute the proven strategy that centers around the following key principles, as you know. Customer centricity is at the core of our business. We live and breathe this customer centricity through decentralization and strict localization. Our country operations thrive on customer group focus, typically either the HoReCa or trader sector. And as we gradually reduce the SEO share, we naturally observe an increase in the food sales share. Customer relevance is measured by sustainable like-for-like growth, which is generated by satisfied customers. And in a people-driven business, the secret to satisfy your customer is a fully engaged workforce. In Q1, we once again generated strong HoReCa like-for-like sales growth of 5%. Trader sales declined by 3.3% on a like-for-like basis, including the development in Russia, but grew at 3.5% excluding Russia. Please note that in line with our segment structure and the discontinuation of the cluster structure, we have broadened the definition for trader growth to include all countries that have a significant share of trader business already and where the majority already has a strategy in place to further capture this market opportunity. Food like-for-like sales all across the portfolio were up 1.9%. This development is facilitated by an active ownership approach of department managers, dedicated and highly engaged teams, and the enthusiasm of our customer-facing employees. As of today, more than 85% of our business is food-related, with almost half of it being fresh and ultra-fresh. I would stop it here and continue with some comments on Real and the outlook, but given that Metro Wholesale Germany had a pretty good quarter and Metro Wholesale Russia a pretty challenging one, I wanted to also spend some time on the why, and in the Russia's case, on what do we do about it. Well, let me start with Metro Germany. Metro Germany has the clear ambition to become the number one marketplace for gastronomy. On the full year results call, we have already shared how our German operations have increased the HoReCa focus last year by assortment and format adjustments, a regional sales force approach, and a strong focus on cultural change and community building, while also upgrading the delivery capability. In the first quarter, Metro Germany continued on this path. Currently, a lot of effort and energy is invested to further enhance our customer proximity and understanding. Therefore, dedicated trainings for Salesforce and store associates have been conducted, and special events like Gastronomy Live were carried out. This is a specific training program where we expose our associates and leaders to the daily life of a HoReCa entrepreneur. We continue to enhance our FSD infrastructure by opening another depot close to Munich, which is one of the most attractive food service regions of Germany. Targeted marketing into the HoReCa sector has also been accelerated in order to enhance reach and conversion. Furthermore, the NPS rollout makes good progress in Germany, leading to a systematic and continuous improvement in regard of offer, format, and service. On top of that, we are building on our international best practices and partnerships. Our alliance with Guide Michelin is just a great example for that. As a result, like-for-like sales grew not only by more than 2%, but were also driven both by the store-based business and delivery. Food like-for-like sales grew by roughly 3%, which is even better than our performance on group level. And just a final remark. Last week, Metro Germany did a great job at Intergastra, which is a large trade fair for HoReCa customers carried out every 2 years in Stuttgart. The team of Metro Germany presented our new own brand products, various innovations and solutions, our approach on food service delivery, and of course, our growing suite of digital solutions. Visitor response was very encouraging, and we generated quite a significant number of leads. Now let me move on to Russia. To build on what Christian said before, the Russian food market remains in very challenging condition. While we've seen an increase in real wages, it is important to reflect that, in fact, it is until now not transferred into higher disposable income, and consequently not into a higher average basket. Furthermore, we saw quite a bit of deflation and actually downtrading. It is also fair to say that all of these effects put even more pressure on the independent trade, which, as you know, still represents more than 30% of the Russian market. But it's also clear that this large audience will need more support to remain relevant and competitive. And here we see one of our key strategic priorities for the coming years. The performance of Metro Russia in Q1 was weaker than expected and impacted by the adverse circumstances, but also by a worsened price perception versus our peers. Without any question, we need to improve our performance, and yes, we have initiated a number of measures. In a market that has turned more promo intense than before, we need to ensure full competitiveness in price and offer. In regard of our marketing mix, we will improve our mix to enhance also here our reach and effectiveness. From a strategic perspective, none of the recent developments have any impact on Metro Russia's strategic path. If anything, we will intensify our efforts of transitioning towards more HoReCa and trader business. The transition won't happen overnight, but it is without a doubt that everything we do today will pave the way for the future. In the first quarter, we've hence continued our investments into the HoReCa and trader infrastructure, relationships, and products. We now have more than 300 franchise stores, the Fazol stores. And here you can see how this kind of cooperation can work out. We've seen a 60% year-on-year sales growth for those businesses. These results are the reason why we will double down on franchise to support our independent trader customer base, and we see great potential for the coming years in a still very sizable segment of the total food retail market. Next month, we will conduct the 8th Metro Expo. This is a special event which we organize to host more than 20,000 wholesale customers, predominantly from the independent trade sector. This year, we will focus on a variety of offers, solutions, and trainings which will enhance the competitiveness and business performance of this very important target group. We also use Metro Expo now to strengthen our profile towards the HoReCa sector. We'll once again organize the Chef à la Russe competition, for example. In addition, we have started Megustro in St. Petersburg earlier this fiscal year. For this event, we have flown in 8 Michelin star chefs, all being Metro customers from China, Portugal, Italy, Germany, and France. Megustro will help in building contacts, facilitating discussion, and promoting brand image. Similar to what Metro Wholesale Germany has done with Gastronomy Live, Metro Wholesale Russia also rolled out Ultra Fresh and Fresh Schools. These schools are aimed precisely to recruit and build loyalty amongst our employees, and this will be made widespread throughout entire Metro Russia. So, to sum it up, we remain absolutely bullish in regard of the Russian market, and we see great potential in the independent trader and the HoReCa sector. We are fully committed and determined to strengthen our position as champion for independent business in Russia. Nonetheless, it is absolutely clear that our recent performance was below our own ambition and therefore requires strict correction, which is carried out while we speak. However, we believe that the circumstances will remain challenging in Russia throughout the whole fiscal year. However, we expect a gradual improvement, especially in the second half of this fiscal year. Let me now continue with Real. Similar to my comment on the Metro Wholesale strategy, Real as well continues on its path of redefining the format to create sustainable customer relevance through choice and service, albeit in a very competitive market. In the first quarter, we made some further progress in the execution of this strategy. The remodeling of the Next Food Lover flagship store in Braunschweig has started and is planned to reopen latest in October 2018. The remodeling will include modules from the Krefeld store, which have been further refined based on the learnings. Furthermore, we already upgraded 9 of our classic stores with simple measures. We create the Markt Hallen flair with focus on food, ultra-fresh and own brands to leverage the learnings from Krefeld and make the attractiveness of the pilot store available to a broader spectrum of customers, but of course at lower capex. As a result, we see a quite attractive new business formula for Real, which is built on unique ranges, modern formats, enhanced services, food court components, and much stronger focus on relevance for customers. Such a model can achieve a real USP in the German food retail market, as most other peers can neither offer such a broad range nor the combination with a powerful food court on a countrywide basis. Another cornerstone, as you know, of Real's future is the online business. The opening of our marketplace after the integration with Hitmeister will celebrate its first anniversary in a few weeks. Performance we have seen since the start, end of February 2017, has surpassed our own targets
by quite a large degree. We currently offer around 12 million SKUs and already had more than 1 million buying customers in the last quarter. In November and December only, we've seen an impressive 90 million customer visits at real.de. Gross merchandise value has grown by more than 190%, leading to an accounted revenue growth of roughly 45%. We see huge potential for the upcoming quarters. As you can see, we're making quite some progress in illustrating growth potential for our stores and our marketplace. To fully achieve a sustainable business platform for the future, we need to significantly improve our cost base on top of that. It is good and encouraging that the Union Verdi has reaffirmed the disadvantage we are exposed to and how challenging the food retail sector is when it comes to tariff application. In fact, less than 30% of retailers are bound through the tariff, putting Real at a major disadvantage, clearly a fully unacceptable situation. Regarding the tariff negotiation with Verdi, we are still committed to finding an agreement for competitive labor costs by end of March. This, as I said, has been agreed with a trade union when the respective contract was signed in 2016. It's absolutely key to correct this significant disadvantage against our peers. For us at Metro, this is the key remaining issue that needs to be resolved in order to ensure a long-term and sustainable future for Real. And you can trust us, we will resolve this. Now let me conclude this call with some comments on our guidance. First of all, I'd like to confirm our midterm ambition, whereby we aim to grow at or above 3%, achieve a reported EBITDA margin of roughly 5%, and increase free cash flow conversion above 60%. As our next step in 2017-18 towards this ambition, we guide sales growth at constant currency at least at the level of previous year of 1.1%. Similarly, like-for-like growth should increase to above 0.5%. Lastly, we guide for a roughly 10% increase of reported EBITDA, excluding gains from real estate transactions at constant currency. Please kindly note that we expect to continue to see a heterogeneous development of our new segments throughout the full year. On the right side of the slide, you'll also find an overview of some technical effects to consider for the upcoming quarter, such as the positive calendar effect we expect given the Easter and Chinese New Year shift. Last but not least, please take note of our upcoming events, roadshows, reporting dates, and conference presences.
So much from our side. Now let's start our Q&A session.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we'll begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one at their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. And one moment for the first question, please. The first question comes from the line of Andrew Gwynn of Exane. Please go ahead.
Hi, it's Andrew Gwynn here from Exane. Just two quick questions for me. I mean, Real obviously quite a lot, in Russia, so quite a lot for the business to be getting on with. Obviously, you mentioned price and more in focus on the, I think you described it as a commercial offer. Should we expect significant profit pressure this year for the Russian business, with the rest of the group effectively picking up the slack to make the guidance? And then the second one, again, a little bit on profit really, but obviously the German business showing, you know, pretty good momentum, I think, as you described. Previously, I think you said a situation where gains which come will effectively be reinvested back into the business. Obviously, in this period we saw good like-for-like, but relatively subdued margin development. Is that your kind of expectation for much of 2018? Thanks.
Yeah. If you look into our Russian business and the performance now throughout the whole crisis since 2014, I think it's fair to say that we were able to stabilize our earnings quality throughout the main part of the crisis. Now, we have had a bit of a setback in the first quarter, and we guide everybody to be aware that the headwind in Russia will not go away easily. So therefore, priority number one for us in the Russian market is make sure that our partnership with the SMEs is actually strengthened in the period of crisis. We know from a lot of evidence throughout the portfolio that a crisis is the best time to build stronger partnerships, and we are doing this, as I mentioned, for the independent trade and for the HoReCa sector, including an accelerated engagement on the franchise side. We are also taking full notice about the price perception, so we need to take action in that regard, which we have done throughout Eastern Europe in many, many places. So here, I think our top-line momentum, which right now is the one we feel is weaker than it should be, it's showing that we are not at par with the market and not at par with peers. That needs to improve. Does that mean that we will have a more severe impact on earnings? Well, honestly, for the moment, we are where we are. We feel that we are able in the portfolio to compensate, and we could compensate most of those impacts throughout the Metro wholesale business. But as I say, we want to protect both. But sales comes first, and earnings quality comes here second. But as you have heard from our guidance, we feel comfortable to guide you and confirm you on what we have said before when we showed the guidance first time for this new fiscal year. On Germany...
I was going to say, just before we go to Germany, is it possible just to comment, I mean, Q1 or calendar Q1, your Q2, it sounds like we shouldn't expect a significant improvement in that like in Russia. Is that a fair read? Sorry.
Well, I think it's fair to say that specifically for the second half of the year, we expect that our actions will have more impact. We have started a lot of measures. We have initiated a full-blown program. We have a new operating partner on the topic. So we believe those things have a lead time of 6 to 8 weeks. So therefore, second half of the year, we should see a gradual improvement. I think that's a fair kind of assessment.
Okay, thank you. And in Germany, sorry?
Germany, your observation is completely correct. We have suffered from a like-for-like decline for a quite long period of time in a market where the HoReCa sector is steadily growing, and we see strong opportunity for the coming years. We are therefore prioritizing gaining market share and making sure that our ambition to become the number one marketplace for hospitality, for gastronomy, is underlined by the relevance growth which we are illustrating into the market. This is, by the way, very much supported as well now by the HoReCa Digital initiative, which we are carrying out here, especially also in Germany. And I would not exclude that we improve our earnings quality. Of course, we want to improve, and it should improve on the midterm to be on the level which we see on group level. But first priority right now is really get market share up and illustrate to our customers as much as to our partners in the industry. And let's not forget, even more important to our associates, that we are winning. Therefore, we have a couple of things in our basket throughout this fiscal year, which we'll report on. While we are also upgrading store formats and service levels. So for this year, my clear guidance would be sales line, sales growth, like-for-like sales growth is priority one.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Andrew Porteous of HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning, gents. Another one on Russia, really. I just wanted to get some color. I mean, it looks like over the past quarter, you've seen competitive intensity increase, but the local management have chosen to prioritize margins over sales. Is that a fair read? And if so, are there some questions being asked internally about that strategy?
Well, I think what we have seen is that a couple of measures that have been initiated to drive top line didn't work out as expected. I think that's fair to say. So I think we have not consciously accepted a top-line decline for EBITDA stabilization, so I can absolutely say this is not the case. The learning really is that the predominant focus needs to be on the independent trade sector, as Christian has lined out, and that's where our most significant sales reduction comes from. And
good news here is we have seen similar events throughout the portfolio, and we know a couple of ways how to address that. And I think it's also encouraging that the closer our team up is with the independent trade, and I shared with you the numbers on the soft franchise, the stronger the development. So there are ways and means to address this, but to absolutely make it clear, we have not traded off top line against EBITDA margin stabilization. That was not the intention when we moved into the quarter.
Okay. And then just one follow-up, if I may, just in the context of you holding FY guidance, is there an assumption within that that you're going to invest in margins in Russia but then get improvement through the second half? Is a positive response to any investment included in that, or is it expected that you're going to invest in Russia and then other areas of the business will perhaps offset that?
Well, actually, our full guidance does not only depend on Russia. Of course, Russia is an important one, but as you have seen also now throughout many years, the portfolio balance has really healed. We have strong momentum both on top line and earnings quality throughout the portfolio. So our assessment on the full year guidance is taking in consideration the overall portfolio development, including all regions and all country entities. So it's not only depending on Russia.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Jürgen Elvers of Commerzbank AG. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. Let's just have a focus on Russia yet again. And this time around, I would much rather like to start with looking back into 2016-17, where the EBIT margin came down significantly. And Mr. Koch, I would like to flag two issues here. First, there have not been any new store openings last year. I noticed that there was one store opening this quarter, but there's no startup losses from new stores that have weighed on margins. And secondly, as you elaborated in the trading statement in mid-January, there have not been sufficient price investments being orchestrated in Russia. Therefore, I would now, first of all, like to understand better what precisely has triggered the decline in the EBIT margin by the magnitude reported for the full year. Then, based on this explanation, I would like to come back to the question of whether or not the necessary price investments will weigh on EBIT margins for this year in a similar magnitude. Thank you very much.
Well, without now going into the full detail of 16-17, but giving a bit of light into the question and the overall model of how the Russian economics work these days, you've seen a decline, that's fair to say. You've seen as well that the underlying earnings quality has not come down as expected by many peers outside because of strict cost management, efficiency improvement, and the like. But what we see now through a period of time in Russia is a deflation that came from, let's say, a small inflation to break even to small deflation right now in the market. What we've seen as well is a significant downtrading. And all of these things, in combination with a higher promo share, of course, have an impact on the gross margin. You cannot mitigate that through further cost efficiency. And that's why our takeaway from this is right now we see that the main focus right now needs to be on regaining attractiveness and relevance, and therefore regaining traffic and volume and drive top line up, which is, of course, then the underlying precondition to stabilize earnings quality for the upcoming quarters.
Can I just interrupt? And, you know, the stumbling point here for me is that last year's EBIT margin came down by more than 200 basis points without new store openings that would possibly dilute earnings quality and without price investments. So what precisely went wrong in Russia last year? When you look at Lenta, for example, they are aggressive in new store openings, but they don't see that kind of EBIT margin deflation. Yet they invest heavily into prices.
Well, as I said, I think the main impact we've seen on economics in last year has been the margin development. And there, the effects I refer to have had an impact as much as the trade law change, which was carried out in January 2017, also has left quite some impact in our calculation.
Now, when you let's now look forward and say, okay, well, obviously you need to be a bit more price conscious in terms of shelf pricing and support for the independent traders. Should we expect a significant EBIT margin decline again this year?
Well, as I said, I think what we are seeing the first quarter is quite unpleasant EBIT decline. We are now heading into the coming quarters and the coming month to stabilize, first of all, our market relevance and our market share. We have seen throughout Eastern Europe a couple of things we will apply here as well on how we can, on one hand, enhance attractiveness and at the same time make sure that we are not sacrificing too much margin or actually regain margin. Now, you might say that's counterintuitive. It's not. Promo leads to high and low. A high-low strategy on a B2B side for independent trade is a poison pill. It's something that is not helpful for a trade relationship with that specific sector, and that's why we will take some corrective measures, but I think that's part of the learning we have out of that quarter.
Okay, well, thank you very much for now.
The next question comes from the line of Fabienne Caron of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Two questions for me. The first one, can you quantify in terms of numbers the deflation you had in your -9% like-for-like? And the second question would be for Germany full-year margin for wholesale. Given the good momentum you had at the beginning of the year, do you expect improvement in margin for the full year? Thank you.
Well, we're not breaking the number in full detail here in regard of deflation and other impacts, but it's clear we had deflation. So it's a slight negative impact that we have seen on our top line coming from deflation. I think a larger part which we have seen is coming from the down trading phenomena. So customers actually going in the same category for the cheaper product as part of disposable income being significantly lower. And yes, we had also seen a decline in volume as of the effect of lower traffic. On the German margin, I don't want to exclude that we can make progress throughout the year as well here. And as I mentioned earlier, our ambition must be in the German market, which is so strong on hospitality, there's no reason whatsoever why we cannot be on par, at least on the average performance of the Metro Wholesale Group. However, for the current year, our top priority is regain market share. And if we are exposed to the situation to make a choice, whether we go for accelerated market share gain, whether margin improvement and therefore underlying earnings quality improvement, you hear me what I'm saying. I think we will go for market share growth. Good news is here in the whole portfolio correlation that unfortunately actually still has a minor impact.
Okay, for Germany, can you tell us what was the sales growth for the delivery business on an organic basis, please?
It was 6%, including the Rangier Express, which already had been consolidated at that point in time last year as well.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Dusan Milosavljevic of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Just a quick question for me, and I think it's maybe summarizing what was asked before. I mean, I think you're kind of saying that you're going to invest a bit more in Russia than you have in the first quarter. And I think what most analysts are trying to figure out is where the improvement in margin could come from, which offsets the weakness in Russia and more investment in Russia. So can you flag regions where you think profitability can improve in the first quarter? That's the first question. And the second question, just in respect to the move year on year in the other segment, you mentioned that has to do with the release of provisions. Can you perhaps tell us what the cash flow impact was in respect to releasing this provision and if there was any cash flow impact? And I think that would be the key two questions. Thank you.
Yeah. The let's say the kind of holistic view on how we look into the development of sales, especially with SMEs, is whenever we develop that
stronger role and therefore a higher share of wallet with customers in independent trade and hospitality. As a result of that, of course, the margin mix improves and therefore the profitability improves. So in a certain way, the phenomena we are seeing right now is a catalyst, is a turbocharger for many of the programs which we are conducting right now to enhance our intensity when it comes to teaming up with the independent trade sector. So Fazal, while being small right now and only being roughly about above 300 stores, is one of the things we are looking at much more closely and also considering all kinds of options to look at that. But there are other programs that we have conducted in various places. In Russia, we started, by the way, this at the first, the Trader Support and Partnership Program, which are programs that are intending to help our customer to be more competitive, but on the other hand, are aiming to gain a higher share of wallet. And that is one way to look at it. So the higher the share of wallet, the better the basket, the better the mix. And the other one has to do with what I mentioned before, a market which is highly promo intense, and where we follow the promo mechanics, is most always not good for the profitability on the B2B side, because high and low is exactly the opposite of what we should expose our customers to. And stay tuned on this one. We applied a couple of measures in the recent past in Romania, which is a heavy trader market, with quite some promising results. Christian mentioned we are piloting some similar things in some regions right now in Russia. We'll come back with more detail on that most likely then when we report on Q2.
And just to confirm, in terms of Benelux or Italy or any other European market where you have already kind of hopefully regained customer relevance, you're not expecting margin to inflect in 2018 in any of those markets?
Well, never say never. It really depends on the market circumstances and the choices we're making. What I'm telling you is whenever we pick up the momentum in regard of gaining the traction in that independent SME sector, the margin development following the top-line growth is always encouraging. And we have a number of examples from the recent past. Most prominent, which we talked about, was Turkey in recent quarters and continues, by the way, in the same direction. We have other examples in Southern Europe. Portugal is one of them. Right now, we are seeing this nice development, as I mentioned before, on Romania. So there is a clear connect between gaining the market share based on higher relevance, driven through a bigger share of wallet, and therefore then leading to a higher profitability.
All right, thank you.
I would now take the question on the others and the release of provisions that are in there. You should look at the improvement that we have in the other segment as in a very relevant way, having been driven by the release of provisions. The release of provisions in itself, by definition, doesn't lead to a cash flow impact on that side. However, as we are going through also paying out some of the provisions that we have built in the past or booked in the past as cash outs, that obviously does have an impact. We had that conversation on the full year call, and when you later on refer to the cash flow statement that we have in the appendix, you see there the changes in provisions. Basically, that's a combination of what we have seen in release of provisions that have an impact here on the calculation, but also the actual cash payout. And just to give that indication for the remainder of the year, we see roughly a 100 million euros that we would expect from releases, cash releases of provisions to pay really them out for the rest of the year.
That's very clear. Thank you very much, both.
And I hand back to Mr. Koch for closing comments.
Well, thank you for attending this conference call, and thank you also for your kind questions. Should you have any other comments or remarks or questions, please don't hesitate to contact our investor relations teams. Therefore, thank you very much and have a nice day. Bye-bye.